Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Copy Corner with your host. I'm Terry Schilling.
And I'm Dan Marzullo.
And this is our corner of the internet where we like to talk about copywriting, marketing, freelance writing tips to help you grow a business, work with clients that you love, and work and write and sell smarter. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by copyforeverybody.com and draftedcontent.io. Go check out those two amazing websites for services, writing services, and free resources on copywriting and freelance writing. And today, Dan, this episode, I feel like it's a long time coming. We were just talking about how we never really covered this topic extensively, but we want to talk about how to deal with difficult clients as a writer. Dan and I have had our, have had our fair share of experiences dealing with, clients who, haven't paid invoices on time, try to scope creep a lot, try to like squeeze in some extra, services there, some extra writing, who has set, unreasonable timelines from the beginning. There's some red flags that we can spot now pretty early on, but we're going to cover a handful of these topics today on this episode. But Dan, let's get right into the invoicing topic of today, because this is always a big one. Like, I have a client who hasn't paid and stopped communicating, or, they keep delaying paying invoices, or they don't pay at all. Mm-hmm. But let's just start with, what happens if you have a client who stops talking to you and hasn't paid their invoice?
Yeah, no. Great question, Terry. So what we've done in the past to deal with this is, obviously, you're following up with them several times and they're just ghosting, nothing, right? Eventually, what you need to do is bring in some bigger muscles than you to scare them, right? So what we've done is, say we've followed up several times, no luck. I'll have our accounting firm reach out to them, right? So they'll actually email them directly, a little bit more professional, more authority kind of behind that, requesting payment and kind of laying out the details per the contract. And that typically, in my experience, every time has been like, oh, shoot. Then they reply to that. And then they kind of take it from there and handle that. And that, for some reason, has really been helpful. Other times it's like, okay, sometimes you yourself just isn't enough. You need to show that maybe you're a little bit bigger than just yourself. So if you have an accounting team or somebody like that that can come in and back you up, and it's not just you pursuing it every single time, that'll help move the needle on those unpaid invoices.
Yeah. I like what you said when you show, like, you're not just yourself working. Cause I think there's this narrative that some clients may have of like, oh, this is a freelance writer, I've been getting work, or maybe I'm not fully satisfied, and they just kind of carry on and don't want to communicate with you anymore. It just shows sometimes how some clients won't take your profession as seriously as, as they should. And so I think when you have that third party, and this is a big reason why it's one of the first things you should do, and you become a little bit more established as a freelance writer, in our opinion, is to get an accountant, to have those things. That way, even if it's somebody who does your taxes, just contact them later and be like, can you email this client and just say that, like, on behalf of, Terry Schilling Creative, can you email them and be like, your invoice is delayed? Because the softwares that you use can have reminders, but again, if they're not responding, try this method out, because this has worked for me in the past as well. Or even saying like in an email from yourself, like, look, I haven't heard from you. I'm going to have my accountant reach out to you in a few days if you haven't paid this on time. I'm sending another reminder. That may expedite things a little bit as well. But what are some things, Dan, that we can do even to prevent this from the future, whether that's in our proposals and in our contracts from the beginning?
Yeah, no, I like this one, Terry. So yeah, the best way would just be to eliminate that problem altogether, right? And how do you do that? Sure. Well, get paid up front, right? Stop invoicing net 30 or after the project. That's something I've learned over the years. I never, ever do that anymore. It's always up front. If they push back on it, which they rarely do, you can negotiate like 75% up front or 50% up front, but always get at least something up front. To just know that they're committed to you and that project as well. If you can get paid right away, then it just, all of that headache goes away. You don't have to worry about following up and all that. What do you think, Terry?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And I always typically ask for 50%. Sometimes I'll do 60, and I do that because occasionally the client will come back and be like, can we do 50, which I'm okay with. And so it's a little bit of a tactic. And like 60%, I feel, is just good for me to like begin my research, to begin the writing and the drafts. And then I'll set up even more milestones. Like after the first, or after like the home, if I'm doing a website copy project, for example, if I deliver the homepage and about page, I may have the second milestone be paid then so I can continue this work. And then if they don't pay, then I'll stop and I'll pause and I can email them like, I haven't paid. If we need to pause, let me know. I'm not going to complete any more work until this invoice is paid. I know some freelance writers who, you know, do 50% up front and then the remaining due right before final edits. That way they don't feel like they're going to get like cut out after they do everything and right. not get the work, you know? So, but right on, you know, ask for that payment up front. Even if you're starting out, even if it's 20%, just get some type of payment where you feel like I'm going to get paid for this initial work. Like, you know, what should I get be worth like when delivering that first draft? How much work did I do before that where I feel comfortable getting paid?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's just a big thing. And, you know, use that type of language in your initial proposal, you know, so they understand right away. And even I'll touch on this, like I've done it even on Upwork. I just thought about this because I had a recent project where someone reached out to me. You know, I had them release the milestone early on there. You just need to ask, you know, because they put the money in escrow and Upwork for those who, you know, are familiar with that platform. But really just ask, and, you know, if they really want the work and really want to work with you, they'll feel comfortable doing that.
And another little tip I have on this, this is something that we started doing probably only like 2 months ago, which has been incredible. And I wish I would have done this way a long time ago, but we've started now, instead of, okay, payment up front, we used to just send the invoice, right? And then you wait for the invoice to get paid and then you move to that next step. Now what we do is we take it even a step further and get their payment details from them. So what we'll do is we'll send over a contract, right? It's like, here's the project, here's what we're going to do, it's blah, blah, blah. And then at the very end, it's a little info form where they can fill out their ACH bank transfer or their credit card info. And they literally give it to us in the contract. So for them to finish that contract and sign it through HelloSign, which is just like DocuSign, that's what we use. They have to put their payment info in there. So when we get that contract, we already have their details. We can go ahead and charge them because we've outlined in that agreement, we're going to charge you and these are the terms. And then that's just as smooth as butter because then it's like, boom, we've got the contract. We've got their payment. Let's run it. Let's get to work.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I use Wave platforms and you can save a credit card for a client on file. You can ask them too if they can save it. So like if you do a retainer, you could maybe have in your agreement that says, you know, each month on the first or on the fourth, I'm going to, you know, run your credit card. Let me know within one business day or 24 hours, you could say, you know, if you want to cancel. And then like you can refund them after that. That way they just know. And then, you know, you can continue your work. Cause I had a friend who just, you know, they started a new contract. They haven't paid the invoice. She's done a little bit of work and she doesn't know what to do. And I'm like, pause the work and let them know, like, you're pausing it right now. Like, I can't complete anything until you complete your invoice. Like, you're a business after all. Like, it comes back to the initial part of this topic of like, they almost treat you like you're just like some scrappy freelancer when really you're a business owner at this point when you're doing this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to another topic that like when we deal with difficult clients. And again, we're live too for everybody listening to the podcast, but also, you know, who's watching live, we're on YouTube and LinkedIn. We like to go live with these shows as well. So if you're watching, leave any comments or questions that you may have as well. But Dan, what do we do about people who set unrealistic timelines from the beginning? Like if you're talking to a prospect or if you worked with them before and they're like, hey, can we turn this around in 48 hours? You know, and they're just constantly asking you for updates, like that type of client who just seems like in such a rush.
Right, right. Yeah, Terry. So I think this comes back to setting expectations up front, right? In the very beginning, before you do anything for them in that initial onboarding phase, you need to tell them it's important, just not, or it's equally, if not more important to tell them what you're not going to do as it is to tell them what you're going to do, right? So like, we have in our rate sheets line items of every single thing, and every other little thing is an add-on for an extra charge, because if you don't have that shown in there, they're going to assume it's included, right? So really set every possible detailed expectation. And one great way that I like to do this is, you know, after that initial call and say they're like, cool, let's do it, let's sign up. You've sent them the contract, they've signed, yada, yada. The next thing I do is we send a document that's literally just says next steps, right? So here's what the client can expect. This is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and then this. So they know, even if it sounds simple, like we're going to write a couple articles a month, you need to lay out exactly how that relationship's going to look from the time they sign that contract, of everything you're going to do and how that's going to play out. And I think that if you can be super detailed there, they're not going to come back and ask for anything outside of that, because they know exactly what you are and aren't going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I just had a similar situation where I laid out, you know, the milestones and the phases, if you will, to start the project. So like phase two will be like 2 to 3 weeks here. And the client came back to me. He's like, "Hey, I really love to see something by Monday." And this was Thursday afternoon. And I'm like, "Well, you know, it's like, I understand we want to see something. I just began my research phase, you know, based on our agreement. You know, I mentioned what I'd deliver the first draft of the homepage by this date. So I'm targeting that date." And he didn't come back to me with any type of like pushback or anything. In another situation, if you can do that, just mention that if you want it expedited, I'd have to charge an extra 10, 20% rush fee, you know, based on if we're, you know, changing around the agreement. But again, I think the big thing is like a client can almost just test you in that way. Like, "Oh, let's just see, it's a transaction now. So let me just see if I can get something early." You know, and they're more like demanding of it, if you will. You can be demanding right back, just be firm right back to them and just say, based on our agreement and Dan's point of setting those expectations of what those next steps, that's key, because then you can always go back to that agreement and let them know, right, that this is what we agreed on. I can deliver it by this date. That's just such a huge thing. But like speaking up for yourself is going to, you know, it's going to pay off. Because they're just going to be like, "Okay, that makes sense." Or like, "Great." I bet you, like, what would you say, Dan? Like maybe 75, 80% of the time, I'm just throwing stats out of my butt here. But it doesn't really feel like there's a lot of pushback when you have those expectations, you know, from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. You got to remember, right? You're not their employee. Like, you are a business owner. You have to respect your time and say no, right? Set those boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll cover some other like quick topics here. I just want to touch on, like, there's some clients who like are like really, we're setting boundaries with communication. Like sometimes a client will just call me instead of like setting up a meeting or emailing and trying to get something, you know, and I'll just like email them back, you know, and be like, "Hey, look, I saw that you called. Let's keep this on email unless an emergency. Like, text me if we need to do that, if we need to get there." But I also just set expectations again in my agreement of like, if you need something, like if you email me during the week, you can expect about a 24-hour turnaround time. If you send something to me on Friday or on the weekend, expect a response by like Monday, Tuesday. Set those communication boundaries too. And honestly, give your cell phone number out or just use that for like an emergency, depending on the client, because you'll have some who just like want to talk to you through everything, right? Like I've had that before where they just want to like set a Zoom meeting or call me to like, "Hey, I reviewed this. Can we do XYZ?" You know, set boundaries for yourself again, because you don't want to just have that type of client, because they'll feel like you work for them completely. Like you're not at an agency anymore. You have other clients and they should respect that.
Yeah, no, well said for sure.
Yeah. Anything else on that, Dan, of just like people who like constantly call you or just like any clients like that?
Yeah, no, like you said, I don't think we even ever give out a phone number to clients. It's like they have our email, and if they want to connect, we can schedule a Zoom meeting, right? But it's always, "Let's schedule this in." It's never, "Hey, can you jump on a call today in like 2 hours?" It's like, "No, you know, here's our availability for the rest of the week. Let's find a time that works there."
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that really about covers it, Dan. And I think we touched on it a lot. You know, a big thing is just like handling those expectations from the beginning in your proposal, whether it's talking about timeline, set those milestones, those phases up of how long it will take, you know, so you have something to go back to. And if you're struggling with having a client who refuses to pay invoices or is constantly late, just be firm. Like, you're a business, so let them know, like, "I'm going to have my accountant, you know, reach out to you." You know, get those payment informations from the jump. Get paid up front is a huge thing. I know it may feel difficult and feel weird asking for that. And I think a big thing is the imposter syndrome creeps in. Like, you have this narrative maybe of yourself that I'm this freelancer, right? That I'm just trying to make it here. I'm this scrappy freelancer, but you are a business owner. So get that money up front. You know, trust your skills. and even gain that experience. Ask for like a couple $100 up front and then work your way up to it once you get a little bit more experience and social proof, you know, to show clients. Any other last tidbits there, Dan?
No, that's it for me, Terry. I think we covered it for sure.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, that's how to deal with difficult clients as a writer. Special episode today. Every episode is special, but this one's extra special, I think.
This one, Terry's tuning in from his guest house, as you can see.
Yeah. If you guys are watching live, I have this sweet virtual background here. Looks like I'm just like in a mountain home playing piano in the background. It's really nice. But everybody, thanks again for tuning into the Copy Corner. We had a slight kind of like delay, like a, you know, a hiatus for about a month, but we're back and we got some fun topics coming up for you to cover about copywriting tips and freelance writing. You know, if you're looking to grow your business, get paid online as a writer. So as always, you guys can subscribe, download, rate, and review us on the Copy Corner. Search wherever you listen to podcasts. Tune in live every, we typically do these on Mondays on LinkedIn and on YouTube. But follow the copyforeverybody.com, draftedcontent.io. I realize I should have like a script here. You know, Dan and I should just do a script of like all the closing things. But this is already way too long to close this episode. So thanks everybody for watching. We'll catch you on the next episode.